Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9. We're going to read texts numbers 7 and 8. Chapter title is Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. The scene is actually pretty dramatic. It's at the beginning of the day of Lord Brahma. And there's a description of the process of creation. The time, energy, has brought about the cosmic dissolution, partial devastation. And then the time energy is not acting on the Supreme Lord, but it's acting upon the ingredients, the external energy. And the time energy moves such that creation is to begin again. The next day of Brahma, he has to recreate the portions of the universe that were destroyed. So, simplified. He's feeling himself incapable of doing the service he has to do, so he's praying to the Supreme Lord for creative potency. He hasn't offered those prayers yet. He's seeing the Supreme Lord in his transcendental form. First of the prayers are distinguishing the form of the Lord and the living entity. The uniqueness of somebody has their cell phone. Why? That's making the buzz. He's making the contrast between the Lord's form as being not at all ordinary and the forms of those of this world. He's explained that the existence of the Supreme Lord can be experienced through sound. He's very poetic in describing that. So the sound of the transcendental message of the Vedas that enters the ear, one can smell the aroma of his lotus feet. And when those lotus feet enter into the heart of the devotee doesn't want anything else and wants no separation from the Lord. And because of the intense feelings of love of the devotee, the Lord never wants to be separated from their hearts either. And he holds them in his heart Pramod starts speaking about the service he has to do, specifically the creating circumstance where those that are averse to the Lord suffer. He knows very well the nature of the suffering, how it works, and he's describing it. Focused around fear, because there's desire for happiness. They can't get it. Whatever it is that they have, they think will bring them happiness, it'll be taken. That conditioned soul is over time busying themselves with material affairs, trying to get that happiness, absorbed in eye and mind. As long as that circumstance prevails, they don't take shelter of your safe lotus feet. All this yavat, tavat kind of thing. As long as this, then that. So that's the background. Here's text 7. O my Lord, persons who are bereft of the all-auspicious performance of chanting and hearing about your transcendental activities are certainly unfortunate and are also bereft of good sense. They engage in inauspicious activities, enjoying sense gratification for a very little while. Who would know this better than the designer of the place or the creator of the place? It's like a thankless task. Naturally, the next verse is describing how the devotees of the Lord feel about that circumstance, and that how they feel about it is they want to do something to make it different. So you can't interfere with the free will of rebellious living entities, but still the sense of compassion is very compelling. O great actor, my Lord, all these poor creatures are constantly perplexed by hunger, thirst, severe cold, secretion in the bile, attacked by coughing, winter, blasting summer, rains, and many other disturbing elements, and overwhelmed by strong sex urges and indefatigable anger. I take pity on them, and I am very much aggrieved for them. Back to the purport of the first. The next question is why people are against such auspicious activities as chanting and hearing the glories and pastimes of the Lord, which can bring total freedom from the cares and anxieties of material existence. It begins the next question, and it's in reference to the previous purport where he writes, when they question, how can one always think of the Lord in regard to his name, fame, quality, etc., if one is embarrassed by thoughts of family affairs? Everyone in the material world is full of thoughts about how to maintain his family, how to protect his wealth, how to keep pace with friends and relatives, etc. Thus he is always feeling fear and lamentation, trying to keep up with the status quo. In answer to this question, this verse is spoken by Lord Brahma, and is very appropriate. following paragraph addresses this Satan Samhita because we just spoke on this other verse yesterday at length. It's in essence recognizing the proprietorship of the Lord, and therefore, since he's the proprietor, he's the enjoyer, and he who is the proprietor and enjoyer makes arrangements for his part and parcel living entity, so there's already a plan for our maintenance, there's already a plan for our protection, and if we simply accept that plan, we don't have to do the Lord's job, we have to do our job, the position being the servant within that arrangement that the Lord is making for our protection, our maintenance, and our necessities. But when forgetfulness of that position prevails, this other business, the I and mine program, takes over. And you can say it the other way. When we forget the Lord, the other takes over. Or you can say when that conditioned inclination is there towards maintaining this controlling spirit and enjoying spirit and accumulating spirit and the whole business of material existence, it's filled with anxiety, and that obscures one's mindfulness of the personality of Godhead, the position of real happiness. We have this position of unhappiness instead, the position of darkness instead of the position of light. So then the next question is, why would people be against the auspicious activities such as chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord? Which can bring total freedom from the cares and anxieties of material existence. So this verse is an address to that question. The only answer is they are unfortunate. Because of the supernatural control due to their offensive activities performed simply for the sake of sense gratification. Aversion to hearing and chanting, aversion to the remedy of the material condition of life is most unfortunate. And that's the condition of Kaliyuga, going way back to the first chapter, first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. The sages of Nanisharani, they're recognizing that condition. Prayina payushak shabhya kalavasman yugejana mandaksa manda matayo manda vahagya hivadvata manda manda manda. Bad, unfortunate. They're feeling concerned, just as Brahma is feeling concerned. Those that understand the circumstance, the distinction between the soul and the body, knowing therefore that the sufferings of living entities in their embodied state is totally unnecessary. It's foreign. It's not our real identity. But being attached to the idea of finding happiness in this temporary situation, they're forced. How unfortunate. And the remedy that can get them out? No attraction. How unfortunate. So the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam is addressing that question. Here it's being addressed again. When Srila Prabhupada arrived in America, his anxiety or concern was, how are these people going to receive this message? are steeped in ignorance and passion, and this is a message of pure goodness, how it doesn't match. How are they going to understand? So then he refers to those verses from the second chapter of the first canto, the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting. That's the medicine, the means of changing that circumstance. It's effective even if persons are unfortunate. In the preparing of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto that Srila Prabhupada wrote while he was still in India, thinking of carrying the mission of Bhakti Siddhanta, he wrote in the preface, quoting a verse where Narada is describing to Vyas about writing of Srimad Bhagavatam, that the Srimad Bhagavatam, this literature, will be capable, if you simply glorify the personality of Godhead, it will be capable of making a revolution in the impious lives of the people of the world. Janata Anka Viplava Tadva Visargo Janata Anka Viplava. Anka means sins. People of the world are very sinful, and how to change that? Anka Viplava means revolution or radical change. That the messages of Godhead have that potency. Yasmin prati shlokam abhadya vatsapi. Even if there's irregularities in the composition, in the Vyasadeva's writing there aren't, but even if there were, so even if the followers of the Vyasadeva may compose something then, and there's some flaw, some grammatical or technical something, that doesn't take away from the spiritual potency. Like Prabhupada's statement about whether devotees should learn Sanskrit and, you know, exact pronunciation and so forth, which is critical for the Vaidika process. You can't study the Vedas without having going through all that rigorous procedure. But he didn't suggest it at all. And conversely, it's not necessary. And he made the point, if you call Krishna's name sincerely, it may even be pronounced incorrectly. If you call Krishna's name sincerely, Krishna will understand your call. In the case of Gajendra, he was in a terribly distressed situation, and he didn't even call the name. He just addressed the position. But the Supreme Lord knew when he came because of the sincerity. So, of his appeal, intense, sincere appeal, help. The commentary says specifically, because Brahma and Shiva understood it. He's not calling us, so they didn't come. When Vishnu came to this, he understood he's calling me. One may not even know who the personality of God is by name. The sincerity is the operative principle, and what to speak if one knows the name and knows the glories and knows the qualities, the reasons for taking shelter of him, and calls with that focused purpose. It's janata agapitlava. It's sufficient to overcome all of the unfortunate circumstances. It's still people are not attracted. The Lord's pure devotees, however, take compassion upon such unfortunate persons and, in a missionary spirit, try to persuade them into the line of devotional service. Only by the grace of pure devotees can such unfortunate men be elevated to the position of transcendental service. And the next question is, what inspires the devotees? The devotees, so this next verse is, they see the condition and with clarity. Persons are overwhelmed. The devotee, I take pity on them, I am feeling aggrieved for them. I'll read the purport. A devotee of the Lord like Brahma and persons in his disciplic succession are always unhappy to see the perplexities of the conditioned souls who are suffering the onslaughts of the threefold miseries which pertain to the body and mind, to the disturbances of material nature, and to many other such material disadvantages. Not knowing adequate measures for relieving such difficulties, suffering persons sometimes pose themselves as leaders of the people, and the unfortunate followers are put into further disadvantages under such so-called leadership. This is like a blind man's leading another blind man to fall into a ditch. Therefore, unless the devotees of the Lord take pity on them and teach them the right path, their lives are hopeless failures. The devotees of the Lord who voluntarily take the responsibility of raising the foolish materialistic sense enjoyers are as confidential to the Lord as Lord Brahma. As Krishna says, those who teach this imperishable knowledge, there's no one more dear to me than he. The Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly is resting upon the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole of the Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement sending Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur to approach those who just won't chant the holy name and plead with them to chant the holy name, risking everything. This is Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. Out of either the devotees feeling aggrieved for that condition, or at least understanding that the Lord is aggrieved by that condition, let me be an instrument of the Supreme Lord. When acting as an instrument of the disciplic succession or an agent of the disciplic succession carrying forward this mission, one should see oneself as an instrument to carry the message, just like Srila Prabhupada's example, the postal peon. The very language is not very complimentary. Postal peon. It's demeaning. So, in the whole of the postal system, the postal peon is the one that carries the letter to the door. He just places it in the mailbox or somebody who rings the bell and says, "Here, sir, this is for you." They didn't write the message. They didn't open the envelope and change the message and seal it up again. They just deliver the message. Look, this has your name on it. This is for you. And just being an instrument of the sender of the message, the sender of the message. In bhakti is the personality of Godhead. The message is from Him and it's of Him and it's about Him. And it's by Him. And we're just the deliverer of that message. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamanikvate Kimba Paraya Ishwaraha. From the first canto. The compiler, Srimad Bhagavate Mahamanikvate, Vedavyasa is the Kvite, he's the compiler of it, and Kimba Paraya Ishwaraha. It's so glorious and superlatively perfect. What's the need of any other scripture, any other message? People won't take it. So, what to do? Keep trying. Or sugarcoat it. Invite people to come for a cooking class. Learn vegetarian cooking. To become healthy and eat right. Oh, by the way, you have to offer to Krishna. No. By the way, here's the mantra. Etc. But somehow get the horse to open his mouth and put the horse pill in his mouth. And it's like being a veterinarian to minister Krishna consciousness, meaning ministering the Bhagavatam. But the medicine is very powerful. If somehow attraction for the message can be awakened, then the opportunity to become relieved of these embarrassing, fearful, illusory and unnecessary suffering conditions can be mitigated. The role of how does bhakti begin? The role of the bhakta is essential. I've contemplated this topic many, many, many times because it's what happened. You know, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction is there, and so it's going to happen. But it's going to happen through the agency of those who take it up and carry it forward. If you don't take it up and carry it forward, what happens? The prediction doesn't happen, at least not through us, not through, or not in our time. Like the work that Srila Prabhupada did, the sacrifices that Srila Prabhupada made, that all of us are benefiting from, and that's, you know, the proliferation of that benefit is going far and wide. Had he not done that, so many persons, their life would not be the same. And now, what does that do for us? You know, we can't just like, oh, thank you, and carry on. It's the extending of that compassion is needed. And just as Srila Prabhupada was told by Bhaktisiddhanta, same for us, by so doing, they will be benefited, and you will be benefited. Being the instrument of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, the message of Lord Chaitanya, it's beneficial for others, as these verses are indicating, and it's also beneficial for us. It's essential for our continued purification or continued advancement, like the question yesterday evening about beginning the process of bhakti and being very enthused, and how to sustain that enthusiasm. So if we're continuing to progress, and one of the ways that will help us, that is not a guarantee, but it will help us continue to progress, is taking that which we have received and giving it to others. And that way we gain Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we gain Krishna's special favor, or as it's stated here, the devotees of the Lord who voluntarily take the responsibility of raising the foolish materialistic sense enjoyers are as confidential to the Lord as Lord Brahma. It helps to establish us in a confidential relationship. If it's done out of false ego, then in pride, it destroys everything. But if it's done in a mood of humble service, it helps us, it entitles us, it empowers us to come to a more and more confidential relationship with Krishna ourselves. To do that service, there has to be empowerment. That's pretty obvious for someone who tries it. Without empowerment, it's not possible. It doesn't happen. Something else happens. But if it's going to happen effectively, it's empowerment. It's not us. It's not our effort. It's not our intelligence or our giftedness or something. It's the message itself, and being an instrument of that message in a transparent way, brings some empowerment. That's what Srila Prabhupada was uniquely empowered by, his deep, sincere commitment to Bhaktisiddhanta's order, despite his clear recognition that it was like mission impossible. He saw his own deficiency in, how am I going to do this? Yet at the same time was determined that it's his order, I must. That seems like an uncomfortable space to be in, but it's the place of very strong commitment and very deep humility. And the message becomes transparently passed on. That person, the transmitter, becomes empowered. This little section, because there's more verses where Brahma is realizing the greatly unfortunate circumstance of the conditioned souls, especially thinking about the fact that he's going to have to create it. I mean, knowing what it is and he's going to have to create it, tough spot. So naturally he wants to see the remedy. And he knows the remedy as much as he knows how to create this difficult circumstance. So effectively, once in it, people can't get out. It's perpetual bondage. That's the nature of which is suffering. And it's got his logo on it. The Brahma brand. Can't get out. But he knows how, so he knows that method, and he's recognizing, even, I know the method, and I wanted to administer the method. People don't want it. So unfortunate. Discussion.
Lord Brahma's case that he created this universe and giving these bodies and all. So, like, is it that through his consciousness he's doing the service? Because in the present situation, like, I mean, I'm not seeing that, I mean, I'm not able to see that he's doing some, you know, directly doing this remedial service to the people. Like, my question is, like, is it through, I mean, although he's creating and giving the bodies and all, like, is doing the service through the consciousness, fixing his consciousness like that, Maharaj?
I don't understand your question. Fixing his consciousness in what way?
I mean, I'm asking Maharaj, like, here Lord Brahma is not doing anything directly, Maharaj, like directly preaching or like the, he's like creating, he's involved in creating the universe and, you know, in the creation work. But still, like, how is he doing the preaching service? Yeah.
Okay. He's got his agents, starting with Narada. And others, but his disciplic succession. He's presenting the knowledge perfectly and purely, and others are carrying it forward. Where are his agents to? Mm-hmm. If we're doing our job properly. Is that your question?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Maharaj, I wanted to follow up on the question of empowerment when somebody is trying to help somebody, then empowerment is important. And so from a practical perspective, how does one get access to that empowerment? And I guess the second part is, when things are not going as expected, how does one understand this? Is it because of one's own maybe pride or false, or is it because some of the empowerment has got disconnected?
The empowerment, first part, comes from disciplic succession. And so therefore, our Gaudiya Vaishnava will find in many, many of the prayers of our great Vaishnava that they're praying for the mercy of who they see as superlative Vaishnavas. Even they themselves are superlative Vaishnavas. There's some very wonderful prayers by Raghunath Das Goswami, where he's praying for the mercy of Rupa Goswami, he's praying for the mercy of Sanatana Goswami, he's praying for the... He's in topmost position. He's praying for the mercy of. So, empowerment comes through the cyclic succession, through those who are very empowered and are very merciful, through those persons. And when things are not going as planned, as you said, or not going well, there can be many different reasons. That depends on who we are. If you're Srila Prabhupada, things weren't going as planned. So, is the indication you gave two choices? Like, there's something within the environment, or there's something within oneself? And in his case, it wasn't something within himself. In our case, it could be any, easily a combination of those two things. And what to do? Well, one thing is we don't give up. And the main success is carrying out the order. Being the instrument, as Prabhupada said, even if nobody came when he first came, I was feeling very satisfied then, carrying out the order of my spiritual master. And for a long time, nobody came. A whole year passed. Nothing. nothing tangible. And then Krishna dropped him in his lap. And he followed the thread that Krishna gave to him, and he followed it, and it started to manifest. But then it was very clear, Krishna. So that's a nice lesson. It may not happen like that in all circumstances, but if that's the circumstance, that's a nice one. It's Krishna. So if Krishna provides this, now we must maintain it and carefully nurture it. And if it doesn't come, it's not necessarily the plan was wrong. It may be that the plan was wrong. Maybe the circumstances are something. Maybe it's out there. Maybe it's within us or some combination. We continue to carry with determination, carry the message forward. Try to become more pure internally. Try to address the circumstances effectively. The service itself is, if taken up the right way, is empowering. The intelligence, the courage, the determination, the wisdom, the dependence. It's helping us to develop devotional qualities. The service itself, if taken up the right way. Book distribution is a very nice example. It teaches one nice qualities. That in itself, we're benefited. And as we develop nice qualities, we become more effective in that service. But say, you know, whatever the bringing Krishna consciousness into the world, we have an idea, we have a plan, and so there's your question. If it's not happening, or things go wrong, it doesn't necessarily mean that the plan was wrong, or the environment isn't cooperating. Might be. You might need to adjust the plan. Prabhupada is very practical. He did what worked. He had great faith in purity, and he didn't compromise with purity in order to get results. He didn't compromise with purity to get results. People told him he should, he didn't. You know, adamantly he wouldn't. He wanted results, but he wouldn't compromise purity to get results. That's not the result he wanted. He wanted purity from purity. But at the same time, he did many innovative fields, apparently fundamentally innovative things. Recognizing the culture, the place where he was working, and did not replicate, duplicate the same in India.
He has a service of creating the whole material world, and he's seeing the consequences of that, how the conditions are going to suffer, and everything that he's doing it, and he's seeing the remedy for it. And, I've been reflecting on this for the last some time. Just that I think I find it difficult personally to find that balance. And like in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's other examples where for the sake of elevating the consciousness of a conditioned soul, there's several intermediate steps given, like in the case of Nanakamira Manipurina, or Chitra Ketu's example, how Angira comes and the sun is given and then the preaching is done. And other examples. And I've been reflecting on that of, well, first of all, that it requires a very deep kind of compassion, and it requires that intelligence to be given from the super soul within to really take steps like that. I guess I'm realizing that within myself, I see that I lack in that in some way. In the effort of wanting to give purity a pure standard, sometimes I'm not able to keep those intermediate steps, and that's not always, even my intention is right, it's not always beneficial for the conditioned souls or that with whom I'm trying to help. Speak something on that topic.
Waiting for the punchline.
Because I just want to say one more thing, that because what goes in my mind always is that what if, like, it just doesn't work? And that's probably my own attachment, like giving other intermediate steps and so on. And when I see that, see a particular nature in an individual, it's like, to me it feels sure that they will go the other direction. And it stops me sometimes from giving those intermediate steps, whereas in some situations it seems easy because the person has such regard and there's that relationship and you can really clearly explain things. And yeah, that's what to add.
I can think of three different things to respond. One, you know, might be the easiest one, and that is, I'll skip names. There was one god brother who we would distribute books together, and he was one of the best book distributors, largest in volume, just like gifted, largest in volume. And I was appreciating how Krishna has empowered him in that way. And his immediate response was appreciating something that he saw that Krishna had gifted me, that you're particularly good at, you know, one-on-one communications with people and helping people, like, become very deeply committed, and I'm, you know, Krishna had given this other ability. And he gave the example of an army, and, you know, within an army you have infantry, and you have foot soldiers, and you have, you know, cavalry, and, you know, so you have to have all kinds of different. It's all part of the army. So, like, the easier answer to your question might be, or a response is, maybe, you know, that the particular gift that you have, like conviction and ability, is those persons that can't move without the intermediate steps, that's your role. You just have to find those people. and be satisfied with that. Or another response is, with some versatility, one might be able to not only do that, but also do other things, like become empowered. How do you become empowered to do something, to cook well, or to play a musical instrument well, or to paint the painting like our artists painted beautiful art. A lot of it is practice with devotion. And when practice with devotion, then this is Prabhupada's teaching to one artist that Krishna has created, Lord Brahma has created these bodies in such a way, if you practice at something with devotion, you become expert at it. So the subtleties of receiving the prompts from Super Soul, how, what is an appropriate intermediate step, you know, it's in another territory where you're feeling, you can potentially feel comfortable seeing this as an intermediate step. It's not the goal, it's an intermediate step, and step by step. And, you know, being able to connect with the person and connect with Super Soul so that you can see the step. That's something that's doable. Part of that can just be relational in any case. You ask the person, here's a, you know, the common thing, put a bunch of things on the table and say, which one are you attracted to? Which one do you think is doable? I think that one's doable. And you can spend some time looking at it some more and, okay, sure, what about that one? Oh, okay, okay, fine. So they're making the decision, then you just stay with that and you help them understand it all. By example, you don't even have to say it, but by example there's another standard, but here's something that for them is doable. And you're accepting them on that platform that that's what's doable for them. And you're continuing to set different standards so that, you know, the goal is clear, or at least the standard to move towards is clear. And then they can be comfortable being in a relationship where they're doing the doable and you're doing the standard. And you're not judging them, they're completely comfortable being with you even though, you know, they're not at the same standard. It's a nice, loving relation. And one of the best means to help them move to another intermediate step is the relationship, the trust that they have in that relationship. And they regard for you or the person who's extending help and care to them that, you know, they maintain the standard. They read in the scripture, they see the, what you do, and they see it, they match. And but you're not, you know, it's not, the expectation isn't, you know, 0 to 100, it's 0 to whatever suitable. And that's okay. And here's the standard. I mean, that's, the relationship means that's where it's headed. It's just, you know, for me what's doable now is whatever it is. And then, even with that, there may be some backtracking, that, you know, that's okay. That doesn't damage the relationship, it's what's doable. At least for some time being. And when the person can trust the relationship, they'll feel more empowered to take assistance from the person's extending care to them to go another step. So that's another way of looking at it. It's, you know, it's relationship based and confidence in Krishna based and experience based. Because when you start going into this creative territory, like what's out there is unknown because it's creative. Another example besides the King Chitraketu. When Narada is a wonderful role model for this, with Magari was, you know, his request is don't half kill them, completely kill them. And, you know, innocently he said, well, why? And the answer is, because they're suffering. Oh, they're suffering? I didn't think of that. They're suffering? Yes, and as they're suffering, you'll have to suffer. Oh, didn't think of that. But, you know, chewable bites at a time. That's creative. Now, the third thing is, in support of the concern that a intermediate step may become the goal or the standard, or like, it's okay, I'm okay, you're okay, don't go further. I've seen that happen. It just, some individuals, this, they become complacent, comfortable, and stuck. Then, in that case, have you wasted your time, or have they wasted their time? As long as, like, you know, as Narada doesn't compromise and become a hunter, but Narada's, you know, there's benefit. Even if all he did was, you know, instead of half kill, full kill the animal. And that's all he did. But it's a concern, a legitimate concern, that if we go in the step-by-step program, are we like watering down and reducing and losing what the standard really is? And because then that becomes the standard. My thought in response to that is, as long as there are persons who will genuinely maintain the standard, and their compassionate, second is their compassionate desire is that persons come to the standard, then that's the protection against the lowering of the standard. That is to say that Krishna will actually empower the standard setting persons to bring persons to the standard by that method. And it kind of goes like, you know, numerical strength. If the numbers of those that are at a lower standard is like so big, look like that's the standard. But at least that, you know, there needs to be some core quantum of numerical strength on the side of maintaining the standard. But society is, in fact, like that. Like, you know, how many persons are ecumenical? Mm-hmm. Now, Prabhupada's teaching very clearly is that in order to become a Vaishnava, you have to become ecumenical. So, but not everyone can do that. So what do? Sorry, you'll go find some other practice. There's compassion. So then there's recognition of divisions of commitment, but there has to be some core of persons that are maintaining the standard, the miracle strength of persons maintaining the standard, particularly in the Brahmin and Kshatriya roles. Those who are administrators also have to be at the right standard, and those that are in Brahminical position have to be at the right standard, and there will be persons that won't. So then there's this other idea that says we'll just have a small organization. Just like, you know, better to have a handful of people than a, what is the phrase that Prabhupada uses? Something about cows. Anyway. Better to have one cow that gives milk than a barn full of cows that are sick or something like that. But then there's the compassion, there's the factor of what we're reading here. So presenting the medicine, presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam in a palatable form and fashion becomes then like, you know, the challenge. The creative challenge. But like with so many, Prachini Bhari. Narada did it right away, like, you know, 10th canto, let's go. It was an allegory because of a person. Or Chitraketa, it wasn't right away, you know, devotional service. It wasn't even right away transcendental knowledge. It was some other experience so he could hear transcendental knowledge. So there's this tension, maintaining and being the example of a high standard and reaching into the population of those that aren't there and maybe don't even want to go there. So there's ways of addressing the congregational chanting of the holy name, Harinam Sankirtan, very compassionate act, prasadam distribution, very compassionate act, setting an example of standards of culture, compassionate act, even without giving them the holy name and the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, attracting them to come to that position.
And there seems to be like two areas you need empowerment from in our practical life, in the sense that there's the empowerment that's coming through the cyclic succession, but then within our institution there's also a structure, and it feels like you need that empowerment.
Yes.
From the organization, because without that it seems like this hardly, sometimes it just seems like, okay, you do your own little thing. Maybe this is a big topic.
It's a big topic. The organizational structure needs a lot of attention. I mean, how individually persons are applying the teachings of Krishna consciousness needs a lot of attention as well. I've had some discussions with persons of late, very sincere, very faithful and very concerned persons. I mean, it's not that the internet bashing program. This is persons that are, you know, seeing structural anomalies and want to know how that can be addressed. I could spin out for quite some time on that one. Reserving. Making something big doesn't mean making something pure. Mm-hmm. part of the inspiration for a lot of work that we're doing globally on the GBC and nationally and continentally is Prabhupada's statement to Giriraj Maharaj about organization and intelligence. So there have to be same language as modern corporate world systems and teams, right? Same language. You need systems that can. So we're adding layers. It's not just like bureaucracy. It's, you know, to get the job done that the present structure doesn't provide. And we need an additional. We need quality person to populate those structures. So then that can work as teams, because, you know, the one person alone model is inadequate. So we're undergoing this strategic planning effort, and we're bumping into it's growing and growing and growing, and I'm very confident the persons that are working diligently, you know, way beyond the scope of just the GBC members, but empowering persons to do different things. It's, you know, the structure and the teams are becoming better. But we're bumping into those impurity things where, you know, it's systemic, it's a cultural, there's something, there's a malaise. It may need some surgery. You know, we want to be, try all remedies before the surgery. Thinking of the future, what's needed is those persons, just as Prabhupada did, finding those persons who he could rely upon that were very willing to connect with him and make sacrifices for him and achieve those things that Srila Prabhupada wanted. And in many cases he empowered persons that were not on the topmost purity because it was being practical, and they did wonderful service and they went away. Some of those persons. And so going towards the future, finding persons that have necessary qualities and can carry it on. So training and developing of qualities. It's going to be this presentation that I'm going to make at the temple on Sunday that's been in colleges. A part of it is, how do you develop qualities? As a teacher, how do you train qualities? Or as an organization, how do you get quality from Kali Yuga? Stay tuned. Anything else? Yes.
One particular point was bothering me for some time. It was the same thing that you talked about regarding preaching, distributing books, and distributing those. So it is a little bit of a big picture thing. So we have so many people, so many entities, living entities, so many souls, so many universes, so many creations, so much of things going on. And we are one small time, basically, speck. And how much effort really we are having by trying to distribute this knowledge to individuals who are here? And how really it is affecting us in a beneficial manner. Can you just elaborate on that?
There's two thoughts, both are simple. Who can estimate the potency of Krishna? That's one thought. And another thought is, by that I mean, well, we're doing a little something, we're a little person, a few little persons, and doing a little something. It's Krishna. And that potency is inestimable. So there's a certain amount of faith in presenting Krishna. And what that will do is beyond our imagination. And the second is, we can do what we can do. However big and complex and unlimited the living entities and the creations and so forth. What's the phrase? One person at a time? This progress is a series of small steps in the right direction. So rather than just throw your hands up in the air and feel frustrated, do something that's according to your capacity, whatever that is. And if Krishna increases the capacity, great. If Krishna doesn't increase the capacity, according to your capacity. And collectively, our capacity increases. The synergy model, that what one person can do, another person can do, and you add up all those things. It's not the same as many persons working together, what that total is. So, that's according to our capacity, collectively. And then back to the first one. Who can estimate what Krishna's potencies are unlimited?
You don't understand this particular point.
The first one?
No, who can estimate the potency of Krishna?
Here's Rupa Goswami's way of saying this is the invocation of Lalita Madhava or Vidagdha Madhava. It's written twice in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Who can estimate the what are contained in these two syllables, Krishna? Because when one chants the holy name Krishna, Krishna is dancing on your tongue, and you desire to have hundreds and thousands of tongues. And when Krishna enters into your ear, the sweetness of that sound vibration, one desires to have hundreds and thousands of ears. And when the holy, so we can't estimate like this because we're not on that platform, the Rupa Goswami, but one who is on that platform, that's his experience. Who can estimate? And when Krishna enters into the chamber of one's heart, the happiness that one experiences is inestimable in this world. Who can understand how much is in the syllables Krishna? When Ramananda Roy heard, he said, I've heard many different descriptions of the holy name, but I've never heard anything like that. You got revelation. So, the limitation for us is our realization. But it's not a limitation for Krishna. Nityasarva Shaktis. All of the personality of Godhead's transcendental potencies are invested in each and every of his names. But we don't have that realization. We're struggling. But the potency is there. And so, with faith at least, if we propagate Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, requesting Nityananda, plead with his people to take the holy name. who can estimate how the benefit of some of it chants Krishna's name even once? What good are we doing for the world in our limited capacity if we can? But to do that, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, one requires empowerment even to induce someone to chant Krishna's name once. We can't do it without empowerment. So then, whatever the scale, empowerment. It's a wordless little entity. But who can estimate the potency of Krishna? We're very tiny, but Krishna's not. And he can empower us to distribute him. His Madhyama Bhaktas. He can do that. And he does that. He gives the power of attorney. You can distribute me to whoever you like. Go ahead. Power of attorney. Now we have some discrimination valves. We don't over here, we do over there. But what we do, the innocent, who can estimate? Where is that going to go? It's just like, you know, the confidence in Prabhupada's books. If you distribute the book and it goes into someone's home, who knows what's going to happen with that? We have so many stories of people that... So many things. Just from reading Prabhupada's books. So, Krishna's holy name. Writings of our founder Acharya. That's our hope for the circumstance that we find ourselves in. Okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. You'll go upon the details.
Yeah.